In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible is absolutely filled with shepherds. From almost the very beginning, we are introduced to the first shepherd, Abel, who we are told was a keeper of the sheep. Later in the book of Genesis, the patriarch Jacob also became a shepherd as he moved to live with his uncle Laban. He was a keeper of Laban's livestock. This is especially important in Jacob's story. During the end of his time with Laban, as he had finished his obligation for marrying his wives, and he began working for a wage, and that wage was a certain portion of the flocks of sheep and goats that he was tending. In the book of Exodus, though, this idea of shepherds begins to develop in a very significant way as we're introduced to Moses. Moses, though he grew up in Egypt, during his early adult years, fled into the wilderness where he encountered Jethro the Midianite and began to be a shepherd tending the flock of his now father-in-law, Jethro. And it was only after Moses had become a shepherd that the Lord God met him in the burning bush and called him to be a new kind of shepherd, not a shepherd of sheep, but a shepherd of God's people, as Moses would lead them out of slavery in Egypt. This is developed further, most significantly, with David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the prophet Samuel goes to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, looking to anoint the next king of Israel. And we're told that as Jesse was showing off most of his sons to the prophet, David was out in the field keeping the sheep. When he then came to be with the prophet, he was anointed to be the shepherd king of Israel. And we would be remiss if we forget about the prophet Amos as well, for he too was a shepherd. We're told in Amos 1:1 that he was with the sheep breeders when the Lord God commissioned him to speak God's word in Israel during the days of Kings Uzziah and Jeroboam II. All five of these men served literal flocks and herds as shepherds. But some of them were called to go above and beyond that, to be shepherds of God's people in various ways. Moses, as shepherd of God's people, led them out of slavery in Egypt, and he became that priestly mediator between God and his people as the shepherd priest. David, who reigned as king over Israel at just about the height of its power, was the shepherd king of Israel. And Amos, the minor prophet, typifies the shepherd prophets that the Lord sent to his people to speak his word and correct their error. But after all of these men had lived and served in their various roles as shepherds and then died, the Lord God raised up another prophet, the prophet Ezekiel, during the time of the exile, who offered us that beautiful prophecy that was our first reading for today, prophesying of the true shepherd who would one day come for God's people. Ezekiel tells us that this shepherd, who is both shepherd and God, will, first of all, seek out my sheep and deliver them, much as Moses, the shepherd priest, had done. This true shepherd would come to feed God's people on the mountains of Israel, just as the shepherd prophet Amos had fed God's people with his word. And several verses after our reading ended in Ezekiel's prophecy, we read that this true shepherd would establish one shepherd over them, just as the shepherd King David had been established as the one ruler over Israel. And so it is that our Lord Jesus Christ comes in John chapter 10, revealing to us that he is this longed for true shepherd for which Moses and the prophets were preparing. And so our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. He's not just any shepherd. He is the true shepherd and the good shepherd. And there is one primary attribute that the good shepherd possesses, which distinguishes him from all other shepherds who came before and indeed who would come after him. And that all-important distinguishing attribute is this. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, is the perfect loving shepherd. He loves his sheep in a way that no one else could or had. Those who came before our Lord as shepherds were sinful. They were unable to love God's people perfectly. They were, as our Lord describes them in the gospel text, hired hands. Now, the King James Version and a few other modern Bible translations translate this word hired hands as hirelings, which that word hireling has a kind of a negative connotation to it that is maybe not quite so helpful in this context. To be sure, some of the hired hands were hirelings in that negative sense. Think no further than the Pharisees and scribes and chief priests of our Lord's day, and even some of those wicked kings of Israel in the Old Testament who were appointed to be leaders of God's people and were not good, to put it nicely. Some of those hired hands were hirelings in the negative sense, but many of them were hired hands in not quite such a negative sense. Sure, they were imperfect, they were sinful, but there wasn't necessarily any ill intent toward God's people. The problem with a hired hand, according to our Lord in the gospel text for today, is not that the hired hand is inherently motivated in the wrong ways. The problem with the hired hand is that he is not able to love the sheep perfectly. This is what sets the good shepherd apart. For the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Moses was willing to lay down his life for the flock of Israel. He even offered as much when the Lord said that he was going to smite the Israelites for their rebellion. Moses offered that his name be blotted out of the book of life and God's people be preserved. He was willing to lay down his life, but he was not able, because the Lord God would not accept that kind of sacrifice from Moses. David also was willing to lay down his life for the flock of Israel. Time and time again, as the military commander, he led the armies of Israel into battle to fight against their enemies. But eventually that willingness gave out. David became lazy and failed to uphold the responsibilities of the king in leading the troops in battle. He stayed home in the palace and ultimately fell into sin with Bathsheba. David was willing to lay down his life for a time, but he was not able. And so it is only our Lord Jesus Christ, the true good shepherd, who was both willing and able to follow through with laying down his life for the sheep. For when the wolf came to devour him, our Lord did not flee for his life as the disciples did in Gethsemane. Christ willingly laid down his life in order to preserve his sheep from the evil one. And as our Lord makes clear just a few verses after the conclusion of the gospel text, he who laid down his life also has the authority to take it up again. And so we confessed in our gradual for this day that the good shepherd is risen, he who laid down his life for the sheep. The lamb, the sheep, has ransomed, as our sequence hymn said. The good shepherd loved his flock perfectly, even unto death. But now that the good shepherd is arisen, his work is not complete. This is precisely what the prophet Ezekiel foretold. Indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered. And I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. This is the mission and the work of our Lord, to continue to seek out those who were lost. This is why the Apostle Peter tells us in the final verse of our epistle for this day, you were like sheep going astray. That's who you were. But because the good shepherd is risen, because he has ransomed you from death and the grave by his blood, you have now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And so we must be clear on this day as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday that today is not a feel-good, precious moments kind of day. This day, as is the case for every Sunday that we come together, this day is about the loving shepherd who has purchased and won you from all sin, death, and the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. All this the Good Shepherd has done because the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He does this so that you might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as the Good Shepherd is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. This news of the Good Shepherd redeeming us and granting us salvation is the greatest news that we could ever hear. But verse 16 of our text is not far behind it in terms of the greatest news that we could possibly hear. For our Lord says in that final verse of our gospel reading, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. See, these words of our Lord were not spoken merely for the benefit of those in the first century. He does not solely have in mind those men and women to whom he would appear after his resurrection, the women outside the tomb, the 12 apostles, Paul on the Damascus Road, even his brothers James and John. Those men are in our Lord's mind, but that's not it. He does not merely have in mind those in the first century. He doesn't even merely have in mind those to whom the apostles would minister and spread the gospel. This word of our Lord has been preserved in sacred scripture for us because it is still true. Our Lord still has other sheep which are not of this fold. He desires to bring them in so that they may hear his voice and be a part of his one flock under the one shepherd. And so this is a comforting reality to recognize that the good shepherd is always seeking to expand his flock. Christ's flock, in fact, is never shrinking. It's always getting bigger. Every time someone comes into the flock of the Lord through the waters of holy baptism, the family grows. That is because those of us who have lost family and friends and dear loved ones who have fallen asleep in the Lord, they're not lost. They have merely gone to the bosom of their good shepherd until the day of resurrection when they will be raised along with us for all of eternity. The flock is never shrinking. The Lord is always working to expand his flock to grant you more brothers and sisters. And though he is the shepherd, though he is the one who calls by name those who hear his voice, yet the amazing reality is that he invites us to participate in his act of shepherding. He invites us to be a part of the expansion of his flock. For the Lord has made each and every person to be a part of his flock. That's how he created us. And indeed, that is why he has redeemed us. Just as the psalmist says in Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And so, my friends, know this, that the Good Shepherd loves you. He has made you a part of his ever-expanding flock. And so let us join the psalmist. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Let us be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. The Good Shepherd is risen and he is ever expanding his flock, for he loves all of his lambs, both unto death and unto everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.